It's 9 o'clock, and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Natasha Alley with Courtney Craik and Laura Grande. And the weather, it's 3 degrees with light rain outside our East York studios. Now, here are the headlines. Testimonials from a key witness are being dismissed in the murder trial of a Toronto teen. Toronto police say they'll double their number of patrolling officers on the DTC by the end of this year. And young Leafs are giving fans hope for the future. Now to our top story. Justice Ian Nordheimer later today will give the jury of Jordan Manners' murder trial instruction on how to deliberate their case. This follows yesterday's closing arguments in court. According to the Globe and Mail, jurors were asked to dismiss the statements of the key witness in the death of the Toronto teen. Lawyers for the defendant in the Manners case asked the jury to discount the testimony of their own key witness. This witness was a teenage girl from Manners' high school. The Globe says the prosecutor, Tom Lissaman, told jurors that his witness, perhaps out of fear, lied in court. The witness says she saw Manners being dragged down a stairwell before being shot to death at C.W. Jeffries Collegiate in 2007. He says that she told authorities the truth that day when police interviewed her hours after the murder. Lissaman also told the jury that they should believe this initial statement, although she later retracted it in court. However, over the course of the trial that's now lasted half a year, prosecutors couldn't present substantial evidence or motive behind the murder. There are also other facts to the case that contradict the witness's statements. The actual location of the murder and what the accused wore that day are some of those details in question. The witness also alleges that the accused stole an iPod and cash from Manners, but there is no evidence so far to back this up. Two men known as JW and CD are charged with murder. In other news, Toronto police are doubling the number of armed officers on the TTC by the end of this year. According to the Globe and Mail, that'll bring the Transit Patrol unit to a total of 80 officers. They'll work with the TTC security efforts both above ground and in the subways. Right now, TTC special constables can arrest people, but they can't carry firearms. The issue of needing armed police arose again from an incident this weekend at the Wilson subway station when two armed men smashed the windows of a female collector's booth Saturday night. There's been debate on whether the TTC special constables are even needed, though. And plans were announced last year to nix the constables, making Toronto police completely take over security and safety on the TTC. But usual problems over pension, salaries, and working conditions stall this plan from moving forward. The Globe reports that adding armed officers to the roster will cost Toronto another $2 million. In other transit news, getting around the TTC is difficult for some people, especially the disabled. Flights of stairs, broken escalators, and out-of-service elevators are obstacles passengers must face. Robert Tran reports on how some riders have to plan their trips well in advance.
Passenger Carrie Ann Mitchell is no stranger to navigating around the TTC. She says she finds it hard getting around the city with her child in a stroller.
If the buses are the low buses that go down automatically, or if they're the old ones, which have 3 steps to go up, or the new ones, which have 2, because the doors sometimes are very small, and you can't get the strollers through the doors. And if the station doesn't have an elevator or an escalator, you might have to go to the next station, and just walk back.
Mitchell says the TTC isn't doing a good job making the system accessible. However, the TTC is working on it. TTC spokesperson Danny Nicholson says the TTC is trying. He says more low-floor buses and new streetcars are in the works.
Every month, more and more buses become accessible buses, and more of our bus routes become accessible as well. And another thing, right now, of course, our streetcars are not, but we're in the process of, right now, our new streetcars are being manufactured by Bombardier, and once they come online, they will be totally accessible.
David Lepofsky is chair of a group fighting for accessibility for Ontarians with disabilities. He spearheaded the campaign for TTC drivers to call out the stops. Lepofsky says when the TTC brings in improvements, they better work.
They find out that I'm the one who fought for those stop announcements. They're very profuse in their thanks and praise for this change because they make such a difference for people.
There are also plans to install elevators inside subway stations that are over 40 years old, but riders will have to be patient. The TTC says in 12 more years, all subway stations will be fully accessible. Inside Pape Subway Station, Roger Tran, Observer News in Toronto.
She's just won $20 million, but Ontario's newest lottery winner says she isn't planning to quit her job at the grocery anytime soon. Bonnie Priest from London, Ontario, won half of Saturday's $40 million jackpot. Priest was in Toronto yesterday to pick up her winnings, and in an interview with London's AM 980, Priest says she's still deciding on what to do with her money. There's no word yet from the owner of the other winning ticket. That ticket was bought in Edmonton. Now, Courtney Craig's coming up with your Tuesday morning sports news.
Thanks, Natasha. Good morning, everyone. The Leafs are trying desperately to erase the memory of their mediocre season startup by making a dash to the draft finish line. As of late, the Leafs have won 7 out of 11 games, but 3 of those wins came from successful shootouts and 2 from aggressive overtime play. Sitting in 29th place, the Leafs trail the Carolina Hurricanes, New York Islanders, and Tampa Bay Lightning by 4 points and the Florida Panthers by 5. Although the team will finish near to the bottom of the barrel with regards to point standings, the young team is giving diehard Leaf fans a reason to look forward to next season. 22-year-old Phil Kessel leads the team with 28 goals and 51 points and is quickly approaching his career best of 36 goals and 60 points. With the addition of Dion Phaneuf, the healthy comeback of Mike Komisarek, and the possible return of fan favorite Thomas Cabrelle for another season, teams who meet the Leafs at the faceoff might see a new side with the blue and whites. Fans in Toronto will keep their fingers crossed. In basketball news, the Raptors pocketed a narrow win over the Timberwolves last night with a final score of 106-100, serving the Timberwolves their 13th consecutive loss. Hopefully, a small victory for the Raptors will give them a much-needed confidence boost as they begin to slowly recover from what's been bringing the team down as of late. The Raptors' sweetheart, Chris Bosh, smashed his own personal franchise record with his 44th double-double of the season. As well, this game was the 36th time Bosh had scored at least 20 points and 10 rebounds, which is the most in the league. The Raptors fell to 8th place in the East after losing 8 out of 10 games, but they can breathe a sigh of relief as the trip schedule sends them to New Jersey and Minnesota to play the two worst teams in the league. Don't forget to catch the Raptors on TSN as they play the Utah Jazz tomorrow night. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. In Toronto District High School basketball news, the Eastern Commerce Saints High School senior boys basketball team is off to the provincial championships for the third straight year. The final game of the city championships took place in the Kerr Center at Ryerson University last week. As the Observer's Dan Heyman reports, it was a hard-fought battle until the bitter end.
The Eastern Commerce Saints defeated their arch-rival Oakwood Mariners 64-61 after a battle that wasn't decided until the final minutes of regulation time. After heading into the half with a commanding 11-point lead, the Saints allowed the Barons to battle back and reduce the lead to 6 points at the end of the third quarter. But head coach Kevin Jeffers knew his boys had it in them.
They gave it everything, right? We knew coming in, you know, our key word was focus, and they gave it to us. You know, we had to take care of business, and that's what it was.
Cam Robertson is one of only 2 returning seniors on this year's squad. He led all players in scoring with 14 points, but felt like he had some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, it was a good game, you know. Kind of last year, we won it, but issue, you know, we had to step it up. We lost to Oakland in the season, but we beat them in the South region. So it's kind of like a rubber match between the two, so it feels good.
The next step is the provincial championship. With only 2 returning players from last year's squad, Coach Jeffers knows it's going to be a challenge, but he has confidence in his team.
It's amazing for us to get here again. You know, we know what it's about. We've been there, so we've had that experience aspect. Our team is very young, and the routine has to be crucial because that's what's going to count.
The provincial championships begin March 8th in Oshawa. Dan Heyman, Observer Radio News Online, Toronto.
When Tiger Woods first broke into the golf scene, you could barely catch a picture of him spitting on a sidewalk. Then, after the sex scandal broke, along with hundreds of thousands of golf enthusiasts' hearts across the world, we just couldn't get enough of him. Now that he is poised for the comeback of all comebacks at the Masters 2 weeks from now, he finally addressed the media for the first time since his troubles began. In the 2 Sunday interviews with the Golf Channel and ESPN, Woods took full responsibility for the chaos that ensued after the November accident, saying the actions he took were his and his alone. Notably, the once and possibly still famous smile spread across his face, particularly when questions turned to the Masters taking place next month. He told the press he was understandably nervous about how he would be received, but he was looking forward to getting back into the swing of things. That's all for this morning for news from the sports world. Stay tuned as Laura Grande gives us the latest reports out of Hollywood after the break.
Welcome back to Observer Radio News. New light has been shed on the final moments in the King of Pop's life. Prosecutors are moving ahead with Dr. Conrad Murray's involuntary manslaughter trial this week. They allege that Michael Jackson's doctor stopped CPR on the pop star and delayed calling paramedics so that he could hide drug vials at the scene. Alberto Alvarez is a Jackson employee and told police that Jackson's two oldest children witnessed Murray performing CPR before stashing away vials of medication. A lawyer for Murray claims that Alvarez's statements are inconsistent. Jackson hired Murray to be his personal physician while preparing his comeback performances in London. A Los Angeles coroner ruled Jackson's death a homicide. Jackson overdosed on more than one medication. He died on June 25th of last year at the age of 50. An animal welfare group is demanding that New York City prosecutors look into Mike Tyson's upcoming reality show. The former heavyweight champion came under fire recently when word got out that he was developing a show that featured pigeon races. People for Ethical Treatment of Animals believe the show is cruel to animals and will likely lead to illegal gambling. Tyson claims he has raised pigeons all his life. Network representatives have not responded to requests for comment. PETA sent a letter in March to the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office seeking an investigation. The show is set to premiere next year on Animal Planet. Does your dream job involve traveling the world? Three Toronto-based travelers have taken the lead and waved goodbye to the 9-to-5. At the third season premiere of their cable show, Departures, the travelers gave fans a taste of what their 3 years on the road has been like. Nastasha Ali reports.
Travelers Scott Wilson, Justin Lukacs, and Andre Dupuis opened the season premiere of their travel show, Departures, to fans at the Great Hall on Queen Street West. Wilson explains that even after filming three seasons, he still thinks travel is the most important thing, although his perspective on traveling has changed.
You start realizing how similar things are, I think, as the world starts to really come together. And, you know, I've said it on camera a million times, so I feel like I sound like a broken record, but it's true.
Lukacs says he's built the most memorable friendships and travel experiences.
These two guys are the only guys I understand. You know what I mean? Understand what I've gone through and what we've gone through, and they're the only people that will ever understand.
For season three, Wilson says the challenge was to keep the excitement going.
It's tough to try to maintain that culture shock every single time. So you gotta go outside the box again and push the limits again, push the personal limits again of, okay, what's really going to press us and what are we really going to have to work hard at to really experience something.
The new season of Departures airs Saturday nights at 10 p.m. on the Outdoor Life Network. Natasha Ali, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Alice is still the reigning queen of the box office. Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland took in another $35 million to remain in the top spot for the third consecutive week. The pairing of Burton and Johnny Depp continues their winning streak at the box office. Alice in Wonderland easily beat a crop of new films to remain on top. It came in ahead of the family film Wimpy Kid, which took in nearly $22 million, and The Bounty Hunter in third place with $21 million. This has been Laura Grande with your entertainment news. Now, back to Nastasha Ali.
Thanks, Laura. That's our show for today. You can find more news online at torontoobserver.ca. We'll have more news coming up shortly, but until then, I'm Nastasha Ali. From everyone here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening. Have a great day.